holding it in their right hand, holding it over their left palm, and they'll say, okay, which way right now is going to be a yes? And in this case, the pendulum begins to rotate in a clockwise direction. And I would confirm that by saying, okay, which way is going to be a no? And the pendulum will, give it a second, reverse direction. Okay? Now, the reason radionics practitioners use the clockwise and counterclockwise circles, which mind you can change, so every time you would do it, you'd have to repeat it, is because your body's energy field has a specific polarity which operates in circles. Energies never travel in a straight line. They always travel in like a spiral. And what happens if I hold the pendulum with one hand over the other hand, the pendulum picks up the spiral. And depending on whether it's clockwise or counterclockwise at this moment doesn't really matter. Okay, it's just that the first one that it says is what my energy flow at this moment is, and that's what a yes will be. Now, when I first learned pendulum usage, I didn't know anything about radionics. And so I said, okay, well, shaking your head up and down is yes, so back and forth is yes, and back and to the right and left is no, so to the right and left of the pendulum will be no. And whenever I get that circle, clockwise or counterclockwise, I'd say, well, that's an eh. And for years I was working with that before I ever heard of radionics. And so I just kept right on working with that. That was not radionics specifically, that was my mental programming of the pendulum. But working with radionics, you can use either my simple yes or no technique, or you can use the slightly more complicated technique of the spirals that people who do radionics use. The whole key with working with radionics is that you are not contacting your guides or any other entity. You have no contact with anything outside of yourself. You are only detecting energy fields. Okay? Radionics, using radionics, I could tell, is this seat a good seat for me to sit and meditate on? I could just hold the pendulum over the seat. Notice the no. That's because I sleep here. I would fall asleep. Okay? So, all we need to do is to hold the pendulum in somebody's aura. Dave, just stand up for a moment and we'll play a little game here. Okay, stand out here. And I'm going to put something in your hand that I know is going to be absolutely horrible for you. This is a sugar bowl. Hold it in your left hand. Okay? And while he's holding that, I'm just going to put the pendulum here and say, is this good for him? And you notice immediately I get a right to left shake. Absolutely not. That's going to be universal for all people.
Sugar's not good for you?
Sugar is definitely not good for anybody.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, isn't that pathetic?
How about mixed with chocolate?
No. Please, your body a vitamin B. Okay, now I noticed that Jim is wearing that watch. Okay, is that battery powered?
Yes.
Okay, watch this. I'm just going to ask you to stand up for a moment. And this is something that we can do with something which is called kinesiology. I don't know if either one of you have seen that. But take the watch off for a moment, okay? Battery-powered watches are rather interesting. Lay it on the seat behind you. And I'd like you to, are you righty or lefty?
Right.
Okay, hold your right arm out. When we work with kinesiology, we have to test his arm first, okay? To see how strong he is. Resist me, okay? And he's strong. I could practically hang off that arm, okay? Now, hold the watch in your left hand and extend that right arm out again and resist me again. You can't.
No.
Come on, resist. Hard, hard, hard. Notice, two fingers. Harder, harder. Resist. Really push up, push up. See? That's the battery. It's draining your energy out. Okay? Isn't that interesting?
Well, I never take it off.
Yeah, when I first learned that, yeah, but look at how much your energy improved when you took the watch off. You have a seat. Battery watches are interesting. Just keep in mind, I'm not saying you should never wear a battery watch, but certainly if you're sick and your energy is low, you should take the battery watch off. Go and get a mechanical. If you're going to be doing a healing on somebody, take the battery watch off, because that battery is going to deplete your energy field. Now, what I did showing kinesiology, remember kinesiology is easy. We muscle test first to see what the normal strength is, then we put the thing into the aura that we want to see how it's going to affect the person, and we retest the muscle strength. And if it's good for you, you're strong. If it's bad for you, you can push the arm right down. Okay? With a pendulum, we can do much the same thing. Only here, I'm just putting the pendulum into the aura while you're holding the item and saying, okay, does this item strengthen the aura? And I'm either going to get a yes or a no, or does it weaken it? It's my mind focusing. The pendulum acts like the antenna, and my fingers will actually pick up and literally manipulate the pendulum. So the only psychic work in here is that I'm psychically detecting the change in his aura. Is it good for him or bad for him? Okay? This is how radionics works. Now, using radionics, I could tell if any food is good. I could tell if the medication the doctor's giving me is going to do the job. I could go over a whole bunch of medicines in my cabinet, which one will get rid of this cold. I could find out what place in my house is going to be good for meditation, just walking around and holding that pendulum over things. When I use the pendulum for radionics, I am not exposed psychically. I can use it as much as I want that way, and it can never hurt me. I used to, up north, I used to watch a woman who'd go into the supermarket hiding her little pendulum, and she'd get over here where all those fruits were, you know, and she'd whip it out. Okay? She was checking out to see which ones were sprayed and which ones weren't. I asked her, okay? And she was literally using the pendulum to buy the food for her family. I know this sounds far-fetched, but start to experiment with it and you'll find it works. One season in my garden, John and I used to have this wonderful, outrageous garden, square foot raised bed. And I went through each square foot and my list of plants and said, okay, is it a good idea to plant the mums here? And I'd get a no or a yes. And I planted them according to what I got through radionics. And that year I had this bumper crop of everything. It really, really worked. Guides not involved, strictly working with magnetic fields and your own unconscious reaction to the field, using your mind to focus on the issue, okay? Now, you can go home and practice radionics as much as you want, and you never need to be protected. The other means of working with the pendulum is psychic. And we work with the pendulum psychically, we have to be protected. Okay? To work with a pendulum psychically means, for example, that I sit down and I want to ask the pendulum, should I take this job? I'm opening to Lord knows what. Whatever entity comes through and wants to lead me on can at that point. Okay? I'm asking a question about something which has emotional impact. Okay? And lo and behold, it is that energy that some outlying entity can glide right in on and take me over. Okay? And I know it sounds like a simple thing. This is the first psychic tool that we are using that, if taken to the extreme without protection, can be dangerous. Okay? It can invite in an entity that is non-physical, that could literally take over your being, your mind, by leading you down the garden path, i.e., working with a pendulum is no different than working with a Ouija board. As a matter of fact, when I use a pendulum psychically, I could set up a Ouija board type of thing, okay? I could set up all of my letters, you know, A through Z, and I could put a yes, and I could put a no, and I could put my numbers across the bottom. I've known a lot of people who do this. And I could literally use the pendulum as a Ouija board by holding the pendulum over the board, moving the board under it, and any time the pendulum gives a yes or a no, or an I don't know answer, I'm getting my information. You know, and it could literally be used to spell out each word. It's no different, okay? And, of course, you folks know already that working with Ouija boards is very dangerous. You know this, don't you?
You told me that.
Yeah. Do you remember how I told you? Or what I told you? Mm-hmm. What happens when you're working with a Ouija board is that when you first are asking questions, and remember, nobody asks questions they don't care about. People always ask questions about themselves that are important to them, no matter how minor. So when you're asking the questions of a Ouija board, there's always an emotional aura that's hanging around the board. And I swear that if you were clairvoyantly going to look at what's hanging around the Ouija boards in the aisle that they're on in Toys R Us, you would see all of these little black, scabby, you know, ephemeral creatures just waiting for some mom to buy a Ouija board for her kid so they can go home and wait to grab the kid, okay? That's my image in my mind about what hangs out around Ouija boards. The problem with Ouija boards is that, like I said, there's this emotional energy that gets formed around the board as you're working with it. Discarnate entities are attracted to that emotional energy. They feed off it the same way they'd want to feed off the energy bleeding from an alcoholic or a drug addict, okay? Leaking human energy is very attractive to them. And what'll happen is they will answer your questions initially. They'll give you answers that initially are correct, that are mind-boggling. Wow. And what does this do? It keeps you coming back and doing more with it. And what eventually happens is once they have you hooked. Okay, they're going to feed you information that's not quite wrong enough that you could prove it's wrong, but wrong enough that it creates emotional anxiety. See, what the entity wants to do is to make you addicted to working with it, and then to create emotional distress in your life so that it can feed off of your emotional releases. Okay, that's the basic situation here. So you never ever want to work with a Ouija board without being fully protected. And likewise, you never want to work with a pendulum unless you're fully protected, okay? Unless you're simply working with that pendulum with radionics, okay? Radionics is no problem. By the way, getting back to radionics just for a moment and on a more lighter side, Jim, let me show you something else we can do with radionics. Stand up a bit. A lot of people who are health practitioners use the pendulum to detect problem areas in the body of a person that they're working with. And again, I see this more prevalent up north. It seems that New Age healing is more accepted, more widespread there. But for example, if I mentally program this pendulum move, and it doesn't mean a yes or a no, but let's have some motion, each time I get to a point where Jim's maybe feeling some physical pain, okay? So let's go around and see, oops, sinuses aren't doing well right now, are they? Particularly the left one, you see the motion, okay? Well, let's come over to this one. The right one is still. Left one seems to be the problem. Okay, around the back of the head, I don't see any problem. Let's come on this side so David can see. Interesting. Right on here, the neck seems tense. I'm getting a little motion, not a lot. Okay, let's check out the problem behind your back. Okay, you know, it seems to me that you're generating a lot or picking up a lot of tension on your left side because that's where the pendulum is really moving. Now move the pendulum over to the right side, it's dead still. A little bit of motion, but not a lot, okay? So it seems that mostly what you're doing is picking up other people's tension. That's the left side. Now let's check out his lower back. I expect everybody has bad lower backs, but your lower back seems pretty decent right now. It's a little motion, but not much. Okay, now Jim also has said that he's had heart problems, so let's check out that biggie. Put it right there in the aura. A little bit of motion, not much. I don't think your heart's doing badly right now. Yes, well, it seems like you're probably succeeding. A little bit of action. If I hold it there longer, more is happening, but not that badly. So I can program that, keep standing, to pick up a specific thing, pain in the aura. I could program it to pick up future illness in the aura. Okay, whatever I program it for is when it's going to move. That's all part of radionics. Health practitioners up north are using that to pick up a problem, then to diagnose it from a list that they'll, is it this, is it this, is it this, and then to go over their store shelves and say, okay, will this help it, will this help it, will this help it, all using the pendulum. So this is a tool that you can take home and play with on your own, not to mean that you shouldn't go to a doctor anymore, but you can kind of use this for a little extra help. Now, you can also, we all know about the seven chakras? This is fun. Let's see if his seventh chakra is open, his crown. Oh, and you see that it's moving counterclockwise. And energy which moves counterclockwise is energy being spiritualized. So if it's clockwise, it's pushing the energy in or pulling it in. If it's counterclockwise, it's pushing it out. You got a wide open crown center. That's very nice. Okay. Now let's check this. Hopefully I'm not going to break your glasses. Okay. Third eye is not very open right now. Well, that it's moving clockwise, which means energy is coming in as opposed to going out at this moment. Usually the chakras will rotate in opposite directions, by the way, because the energy is moving from one to the other, so they are usually counter to one another. And it's not bad. It's a fairly large sweeping circle. And if we come down to the throat center, again, it's the opposite direction and much larger, okay? Your throat center is doing well. You're speaking up. You're telling people off. You're having arguments. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. He's definitely projecting. Okay, let's check out the heart center. Again, we're moving the opposite direction. This is pulling energy in. And it's also a fairly large circle, so the center looks like it's pretty well open. And that's very nice, especially in view of the fact that you've had, you know, a bypass work. Okay, if we go down to the sacral center, here we get kind of a little dinky circle. You got to work on any intuition, work on maybe doing more physical activity. Okay, we go down to the root center, and again it reverses. This one is bigger. We know what kind of physical activity you'd still do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe you should get more into bike riding.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But you see, you can go down each center. And by the way, your centers are pretty well open. That's nice.
What happens when sometimes I feel like everything shuts off? Like.
That's probably for whatever reason, whether emotionally you're frightened or you're worried, you shut it down.
No, it's like I turn off. My body shuts down for a second and turns back on.
Uh-huh.
Like a pop or...
I wonder if that, from what you're saying, it might even be that you're at that moment in time, maybe there's something that feels wrong in your energy and you're readjusting it, so you pull it in to rebalance it.
It's scary.
You know? I'd almost have to be around you when it happened to feel what was happening, okay?
It's scary.
But at least you get a feel, though, okay, for what the radionics can do.
But you program it by...
You program it by thinking. All you have to do is focus on it and tell it, this is what I want you to do, okay? And by the way, before we leave tonight, I still want to get us through that meditation. And as usual, I've talked so much that we're late. But I did want to give us a chance to practice with this. I think what I'm going to do is, instead of giving you a chance to practice here with it, I'll say go home and practice your radionics and practice your psychic work with it. I'm just going to show you a little bit to do with that in a moment. Practice that all week, and when we come back next week at the beginning of class, we'll work on one another, checking our chakras, our health situations, asking some questions, and that way you'll kind of get the feel of practicing and then working with it. And it'll also give you a chance to come up with your own pendulum during the week. Now, I've mentioned a couple of times, obviously, that when we work with the pendulum psychically, we have to be protective. And you're going to absolutely love this, but I have this whole protective little ritual that I do that I'm going to put up here on the board, and I do want you to write it down, because even though working with the pendulum, this whole ritual may not be necessary, as we get into working with automatic writing and crystal gazing, which are even more psychically opening than the pendulum would be, if you're not really fully protected, you're going to be sitting ducks for whatever is passing by out there that might want to drain off your energy or feed you unhappy emotional situations. Okay? So, number one, when you're protecting yourself, and this should be automatic, is to put yourself in the white light. We all know how to do that. Number two is to put yourself in the energy balloon. And we all know how to do that. We learned that in Psychic Development 1. Number three is to recite a prayer. Now, I don't care what prayer you use, okay? Everybody's from a different denomination and has their different focus. The whole idea of invoking or reciting a prayer is to put you in contact with whatever your rendition or your idea of the God force is. I'll share with you the one that I use, and you're welcome to use it, but you don't have to. What I use is, in the name of all that is, I heal, cleanse, and protect my mind, my body, and my spirit. In the name of all that is, I ask to be a channel power of the universal force. A psychic, a long, long time ago, had given that to me, that her guides had given to her. Now, I've been using this for years, and it gives me a real good, clear, cleaning feeling when I work with it, so I like to share it with people. But if you have a prayer that really grabs you, that you've been working with since childhood for protection and clarity, well, that's the one you should be using, okay? I'll say it again. In the name of all that is, I heal, cleanse, and protect my mind, my body, and my spirit. Extra I in there. In the name of all that is, I ask to be a channel for the power of the universal force. And of course, I'm from the Star Wars generation, so I really love the force be with you, you know? Okay, so that's number three, is reciting your prayer. Number four is going to be invoking your guides. And we are going to meet two of them tonight. We're going to meet your life guide, who is the one you will address all of your questions to when you're working with any psychic work. And we're going to meet your protector. And your protector is the one that you'll always invoke whenever you're in any situation where you feel like you need, protection that's from a higher level. Okay? And, you know, some of you are going to see your guides. Some of you are going to feel your guides. Some of you will just get kind of a vague feeling there with you. I don't care what you get or how distinct it is. When you invoke your guides, you'll recall that feeling or that image that you get in our meditation. That's how you invoke them, okay? And the last thing is you just go to asking your guides, will you help me with this particular thing you want to do? And it's interesting because that last thing is still important, because if you're asking about something that either you're not supposed to know the answer to, or perhaps for whatever reason it's dangerous for you to ask, or maybe you're just asking it the wrong way, your guides will say no. Okay? And if that happens, you know that you just can't pursue that particular, direction of thought at this point in time. Okay? And I'll tell you something. If you use this little ritual for protection, anytime you work with your pendulum psychically, or anytime you're doing automatic writing or crystal gazing, nothing except your guides and your higher self will ever come through. You'll always be safe. And if something else comes through, it has to come through only through your guides. Therefore, it would be safe. Okay? Do I sound like I'm overkill? Yes, I am. I have myself experienced some pretty wicked things in the past, therefore I like to teach my students what I know is going to protect them. Okay, are you ready to meet your guides?
Yes.
Okay. Let's turn off our lights, and let me just see how much is left on our tape here. I do think we've got enough tape left for us to do this on the same side, so I'm just going to continue along. Now, we'll turn our lights off here so that we can do this a little more readily. What I'm going to do is to count us through our 1 to 10 relaxation exercise. And you all know how to do that. I'm going to move pretty quickly. Again, we'll do this better if our shoes are off and you're sitting nice and comfortably in your chair. Don't get too comfortable. You don't want to fall asleep. Once we count to 10, we're going to work in our magical workplace, and we're going to work through our energy screen. We're going to create a doorway, and we're going to go out through there to meet our guides. So just flow along with me, and we'll do it. Close your eyes and sit back. Take a deep breath, bringing energy in through the top of your head, spreading it like a glowing white light throughout your whole body as you breathe in. And as you exhale, push any negativity, any resistance, any fear, push all these things out through the bottoms of your feet into the floor. Feel yourself totally relax as if you're going limp. Breathe in again, feeling lighter, more relaxed. Breathe out, let your body go limp. Keeping your breathing deep and regular, mentally put all of your worries and cares into your worry box, like we usually do, and push it around behind you, out of sight, out of mind. Now let's do our countdown. One, relax the muscles of your head and face. Two, let that relaxation flow inwards to relax the muscles of your mind, teaching your mind how to relax. Three, let your mind send a wave of relaxation downwards through your whole body. Four, let your mind tell the muscles of your feet and your ankles to relax, to go limp. Five, relax the muscles of your legs from the hip all the way to the ankle. Feel all of those muscles relax. Six, relax the muscles of your abdominal area, your lower back, and all of the internal organs of your lower body. Seven, relax the muscles of your chest and your upper back, all of the internal organs of your upper body, including your diaphragm. Feel all of those relax. Eight, relax the muscles of your spine, all along the spine on either side. Nine, relax the muscles of your arms from the shoulder all the way down to the tips of your fingers. Ten, feel your whole body completely relaxed and at ease, with your mind alert and awake. Ten, the alpha state of mind awake, body asleep. 10. Let your mind drift lightly. Keep your breathing deep and regular. And in your mind's eye, move yourself to your magical workplace. Move to that workplace now. As always, when we enter our workplace, take a moment to completely look around the workplace. What has changed? What is new? Remembering that any changes, anything new, represents growth or changes within your own being. Now move to your work table, and on the table you will see your energy screen. Take the screen up and unroll it or extend it until it is as large as a doorway, standing upright before you. Stand and look at this blank screen, a blank doorway.
until as you reach out to activate it, to turn it on, a hallway appears. A hallway that leads towards a set of double doors at the end. Step through into your screen and begin to walk along the hallway. As you begin to walk, your steps move faster and faster. The walls of the hall begin to move past you more and more quickly. A feeling of intense speed as you float quicker and quicker towards the doors at the distant end. You're moving more and more quickly with intense speed. The walls blur until finally you arrive at the doors at the end of the corridor. As soon as you arrive there, the doors swing wide. You look out into a vista which only you can see. Extend forward your right hand. As you do, your hand is clasped by another hand. You feel the flesh, you feel the skin of this hand that holds yours. You look at it. Is it male or female? Is it even human? And now allow your eye to travel up the hand to the arm, up the arm to the shoulder, and from the shoulder to the face. See the face of your life guide. Feel the presence of this being as it holds your hand. Feel the warmth, the feeling of strength, support that comes through that hand into you. This guide has been with you since before you were born. This guide will be with you all of your life. Look deeply into the eyes of this guide. Look deeper until all you can see are the eyes. And as you breathe in, into your mind comes the name of this guide. Hear it in your mind. And as you absorb this knowledge, know what this guide's primary purpose in your life is. Take a moment now to let the feeling of this guide's purpose flow into you. What does this guide wish to help you to achieve in your life? Know this information now. And now stretch forward your left hand. Let your life guide continue to hold your right, but stretch forward your left. And again, feel that left hand grabbed, held by another hand. Feel its strength. Look at the hand that holds yours. Again, is it male or female, large or small, human? Follow the hand up the arm, as we did before, to the shoulder. Follow from the shoulder to the face. Is this a friendly face? This is your guardian, your protector, that will serve in this role all through this present life. See how this guide is dressed. That may give you some insight into the particular type of protection that is offered. Again, narrow your focus to this guide's eyes. As the gaze of the guide pierces your eyes, you hear inside your mind the name that this guide may be known as. Hear the name. Know it within your own being. Let the feeling of the power of this guide wash into your body along with his gaze or her gaze. And know in exactly what areas this guide will always be there to protect you. Feel that knowledge within yourself. And now, with a squeeze that both guides give each hand to let you know they are always there, have always been there, and will always be there, let your hands drop. Let your guides recede into that place where the guides always reside within your own being, within this long tunnel inside of yourself. Let the doors swing shut. And have a sensation of speed as you are drawn back, 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 faster and faster towards your workplace. Drawn back. Finally, to walk from this hallway that we were in back into your workplace. Take a deep breath, and as you exhale, feel for any changes within yourself, any sense of wholeness within yourself that's new, that wasn't there before. Now fold your screen up and place it back on your work table. You can revisit your guides in their own place, but that's not necessary, because whenever you call them by their name, by reimagining them holding your hands, or by recalling the feeling of them around you, they will always be there. They will always be there for you. Now step back from your work table and take a look around your workplace. What, if anything, has changed? What's been added? How have you grown? And now, as I count us back from 10 to 1, we'll come back to this time and this place, this classroom. 10, 9, 8, give a stretch. Move your hands and your fingers, your neck. 7, take a deep breath and let it out. 6, another deep breath, bring your attention back. 5, we've been on a long journey this time. 4, 3, 2, and 1. Wake up, bring your mind back. Didn't that feel good? Okay, I'm going to just put some lights back on here. Watch.
eyes. When we do this little exercise, meeting our guides, I find that students always get, you know, different information. Some people see their guides very, very clearly the first time. Some have trouble seeing them, but feel them very strongly. Sometimes people hear not just names, but get whole conversations. Other times they can't even get a name, they get just a letter or a feeling. So the experience is different for everybody. If you only got bits and pieces of your guides, don't let that worry you. Because as you work with them over time, more and more of them will become apparent. Your tie to them will get stronger. You'll eventually hear their name, you'll know their name, you'll know what they look like. The important thing now is that you just got enough to grab hold of when you need that guide's direction. Remember, your life guide is the one that you are working with for information. That's your direct link. The protector is the one that will always protect you no matter what the work is that you're doing. Anybody want to share their experience?
Made me cry.
Good. Nice to know you're not alone, isn't it, Jim? Yeah, that's how I felt the first time, too.
The one I didn't really know what was a guy, but I knew its name from before.
Ah, good. And now you find out it's a guide all this time. I've also, in the past, had students whose guides were everything from comic strip characters to animals to space aliens.
Well, mine was an alien.
Uh-huh.
My life guide was an alien.
Yeah, if your guide didn't quite fit what your expectation was, don't let that disturb you.
Okay. He was still kind of cute.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And this one was a, let's say cute.
Well, I mean, it wasn't scary. So,
I feel like I met this one many times in other circumstances. So I'm kind of surprised it can be a guide, the protector one. I don't ever remember ever.
Okay, so
but I did get a name.
That one's probably always been with you, but you never consciously invoked it because you didn't know it was there. Now you know. You know, we didn't find anything that hasn't already been there. We just introduced you to what you've already got, okay? I have some homework for you to take back with you. First off, before you leave today, I'd like the two of you to get together and set a date, time, you know, so forth, to do a telepathy exercise. Again, this time I want you to send a scene with an emotion. And let's take it a step further. Put a person in the scene, okay? And David, if I might impose on you, I would also like you to contact Karen and do the same thing with her so that she won't be left out of this, okay? You have her phone number. If you don't, I'll be glad to give it to you. So the number one homework is your telepathy exercise. Number two, I would like you to get a pendulum of some sort. Remember what I said, if you have a pendulum, that's something you've worn for a long time, that will probably work better first time around, it'll have your energy. During the week, you might experiment with two or three different items you could use as a pendulum to see which works best. Once you zone in on a pendulum you want, you might want to put it in a little box like I've got it, or put it in a little silk pouch, keep it in something, and once you're using it, because it's a psychic tool, you don't want anybody else to touch it. And once you decide that you're going to use this particular pendulum, you might also want to give it an old overnight bath and some salt water, a little kosher salt and a cup of water, to cleanse it of anybody else having touched it or done anything to it that you don't want interfering with your work. Okay?
You also can't find something you'd like to use as a pendulum. We sell them out in the store too.
Right. Okay? Now, once you've got your pendulum that you, by the way, are going to bring back to class next week, because we're going to do a little play with that at the beginning of class, during the week, I want you to do three things with it. At least one day during the week, I want you to go through this whole procession where you put yourself in the white light, then do your energy balloon, then recite a prayer, then ask both your life guide and your protector to be present, and then ask them if they'll help you with the question you're about to ask. This whole little ritual, and ask a question. Write down when you did it, what the question was, and I would like you to ask something which is not real emotional, and which you're going to be able to get some feedback on relatively soon, okay? Because that way we can, you know, the quicker we get turnaround on feedback, the more comfortable you're going to be with working with this. Now, if you want to ask questions every day, that's fine. But I want you to make sure you do it at least once during the week. Now, in addition to that, something else that I want you to do, and this I want you to bring back to class with you. I want you, again, to go through this ritual for invoking your guides before you do this, because we are psychically tying in. I want you to draw a map of your home, okay? Floor plan. If it's more than one floor, you're going to have to put more than one floor, okay? You can use the pendulum over a map. What you do is you stabilize, choking over here, you stabilize your arm, okay? Hold the pendulum still so that your wrist is just bent and you're holding it off a short string. You put the map under the pendulum and move it. You don't move the pendulum. When the pendulum moves, you will know that it's pointing to whatever it is you want to find on that map. You could find lost people, lost dogs, lost objects, but what we're going to use it for is with a map of your house to find, first, where is the best place for you to meditate, and second, where is the best place for you to do your psychic work, like working with a pendulum, okay? So what you're going to want to do first is to hold it over each room on the map, and when you've narrowed it down to whichever rooms it's activating on, now put the furniture into those rooms, and then hold it over each one of those places you might sit, okay? And when you come back next week, you're going to have your map with you, and you're going to have your answer as to where is best for you to meditate, where is best for you to do psychic work. They may not be the same thing, and we'll talk about why next week, okay? So those are your three major homeworks, or four. Telepathy exercise, asking a question of your guides using your pendulum, and also using your pendulum to locate those two things, place to meditate, place to do psychic work, on the map. And remember, both for your question and for your map work, you want to go through your whole ritual of protection, okay? You don't have to go through completely going down the tunnel and everything else to invoke your guides. At this point, all you've got to do is say your guide's name, okay? Please, so-and-so and so-and-so, be here with me. If you didn't get a name, all you have to mentally do is imagine yourself reaching out with both hands and having those hands hold yours, okay? And you've got them. Any questions?
Do you take plastic?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That was a good question.
Well,
we'll see you next week.